I want to speak to you tonight about the consolation and comfort of David. The consolation and the comfort of David. Now, I would like you to turn with me to Psalm 139. Hallelujah. Psalm 139. Now, David, as we know, king of Israel, shepherd, was a man after God's own heart. And God revealed something to him in this psalm that he penned and wrote down that brought David, the truths in this psalm brought David through to a new, I believe, place in his heart of rejoicing and a new place of strength. And it will do the same for us. It will bring us the same consolation and comfort because this is God's mind. This is God's intention. And when this word heard with the Spirit, it moves to bring freedom, comfort and consolation to us as it did David. Lord, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would be our teacher and to reveal to us, Lord, these things that you died that we may know and experience and rejoice in. Have your way in every heart in this place, Lord. Let there be a shout of triumph, Lord, and victory, Lord, such as we've never experienced before by the end of this night when your word has been exalted. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Because the scripture says he has placed his word higher even than his name. There's going to be something tonight in Psalm 139. And at verse 1, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You have searched me and you have known me. And I am so grateful that God is good. Because the truth of that, of God searching us and knowing us, greater than we know ourselves, greater than anybody knows us, searches us through and through to the innermost core of our being. He is our maker. He created us in the womb when no one even knew we existed. And our parts were formed, it talks about in the lower parts of the earth. And before anybody knew our name and or our face or our personality, God knew us. He gave us life. We are here by the will of God, not by the will of man. And it says, God, you have searched me and you've known me. And it doesn't mean you all in the past, but it means you keep on searching me and you keep on knowing me. And that word know means in the most intimate of ways, you know me. And it says, you know everything about us. Verse 2, you know my down-sitting, you know my uprising, you understand my thought afar off. You know my ups, you know my downs, you know thoughts that are afar off. That speaks to me of sometimes, you know, we have thoughts that are unspoken. We have thoughts that are almost not even fully formed. There's just longings in us, and there are things that we don't understand. And it says, Lord, you know all of that. It says, verse 3, you compassed or you surround my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. And I thank God tonight that somebody knows me. Somebody knows you. Somebody is acquainted with all your ways. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves saying, well, why did I say that? But God knows why. He knows why we said that. He knows why we do things. He knows why, because he knows us through and through. He's acquainted with all our ways. He knows the whole story. Even if he told us the whole story and why we did what we did, we could scarcely believe it because we don't even know a fraction of the whole story. But he knows it all. It says, verse 4, for there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it all together, from the start to the finish. You have beset me behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. And David says, I can't understand how well and how deeply you know me, how you search me continually, how you know me so intimately, and you've yet still you lay your hand upon me. You've set me apart from all the peoples of the earth, and you have laid your hand upon me, knowing everything you know about me. Knowing me more than I could ever know me, David says, yet I know that you have laid your hand upon me. I don't repulse you, Lord. I don't disgust you, Lord. I haven't disappointed you, Lord. David had a testimony, and there was much in it, that if the enemy had his way, he would have been so separated from this truth so as to never recover. But David says, you have laid your hand upon me, Lord. And everyone in this place tonight, and everyone within the sound of my voice, that can say like David, I have a heart after you, Lord. Maybe not perfect, because David's heart wasn't perfect, but I have a heart after you. The Lord is saying to us tonight, I know you, I've searched you, and I've laid my hand upon you, and my hand is upon you. My hand is upon you. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And it's like this truth. It's an ever-growing truth in this psalm to David. Lord, you know me so completely. And you don't push me away. You put your hand on me and you keep your hand on me. As a signal to heaven and hell, you know me. And you are with me. And you've called me to yourself. And it's this knowledge is too high, it's too wonderful for me. And it seems like David in the first few verses here, it's like, Lord, it's dawning on me day in, day out, through my ups, through my downs, you are with me. And it's like you, Lord, have chosen to join with me. You have joined with me on my journey of life. And it's amazing, my day-to-day life. You know me and you see it all. But then it's like there's a thought that David must say. And he says it like this, whither, verse 7, shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Because if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. But if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. What a thought. It's all of a sudden he's hearing the words he's saying. Lord, you search me and you know me. And you know there are times, Lord, that I have felt your spirit in your presence and it's like I was transported to another place. But it also means, Lord, that I can't flee from your presence even when I choose to make my bed in hell. Even when I am going to places, whether I choose it or it seems like I'm taken there, where I find myself, I have a bed in hell, and yet it says, behold, you are there. I can't flee from your presence. You've laid your hand upon me. I can't run away from you, for you have chosen to join me in the journey. You know me. You know me. And you know there are times, Lord, that I find myself where I have literally made my bed in hell, and yet you say you are with me there. This is David's experience. And I'm reading this and I go, Lord, is that true? I mean, I know it's true, but let this truth sink into me. David was God's man. We're sitting here, many of us, and we can say, I am the Lord's. And David is saying in his experience, if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. For I cannot flee from your spirit, and I cannot flee from your presence. No matter what, you have not withdrawn your hand from me. No matter where I find myself, it is you have put your hand upon me. It says in verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I take the wings of the morning, if it's a very good day, if I'm in right relationship, if it is good, you are with me. But if I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, beloved, think about that. The uttermost parts of the sea, if I can go to the deepest part of the ocean, thousands of feet deep, miles deep, and if we just think of that picture of the sea, if on this earth we can go to the deepest part of the sea, that is a place of utter darkness where no light penetrates. That is a place of utter pressure. Recently, I visited the museum on the Titanic, and they showed pictures of the Titanic lying on the floor of the ocean, crumpled like a tin can, because the pressure, it's like thousands of pounds per square inch. A massive boat like that crumpled in like a tin of sardines. The pressure at the bottom of the sea is so mind-boggling. It is at the bottom of the sea is an environment that is so hostile to life. There is no breath down there. David says, if I go to the uttermost part of the sea, if I go to a place where it seems monsters can swim and things and fears can overswallow me, David says, even there, at the deepest, darkest, inhospitable to the life of your life in me, if I find myself there, and Lord knows why I find myself there. If I find myself there, it says, even there, verse 10, thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. David is learning something, a truth, because he knows, since he has a heart after God, that there will, this God has come to him, and God is with him. And he may find himself in places. He may find himself in the making his bed in hell. He may find himself the lowest, the darkest, most inhospitable place for the Spirit of God to dwell in our lives. Yet God says, I will be faithful to you. I know I will not withdraw my hand. If you have a heart after me, even if you make your bed in the lowest hell, my hand will be there to lead you, and I, my right hand, will be there to hold you. And beloved, this sounds like a truth. Oh my goodness, if we believe that, then we're going to sin with impunity. I mean, we won't change. I tell you, no, by the time we get to the end of this psalm, we will see the power of this truth, that you and I cannot turn from a love that is so deep, from a God who says, I have committed myself to you. And it is through this understanding, I know how to break up the strongholds of sin in you. I know how to break the power of darkness that has ruled you for ages and generations. If you gave me your heart, I took it, and everything bows before my love and the power of my cross. Hallelujah. I can't flee from your presence. I can't flee from your Spirit. For when I invited you in, you're greater than hell. And Lord, you know how to go to the foundations of the deep, that I don't return to something that I've been crying out to you about. You see, beloved, this is David, who knows that God sees and understands everything about him. And he's past the place of pretense. He's past the place of playing a game, of trying to be something, or disappointed in himself, or brought to the place, oh God, let me try harder next time and maybe I'll change. He's come to the place, oh God, in thy great incredible mercy, I gave you my heart and you took it. Now you rescue me, for I have made my bed in hell. Let your Spirit come to me, O God, for it's too strong for me. This is how the depths are broken up with some sins, beloved. This is how it happens. There are some things only love and compassion of God break up and free us. You know, it says in verse 11 and 12, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Whether it be light or whether it be dark is nothing to you. Whether I hide in the darkness and the shame of my sin, or whether I find myself praising in the light, Lord, it doesn't prevent you from seeing me. It doesn't prevent you from knowing me. It doesn't prevent you from withdrawing your love and compassion towards me when I've given you my heart. And this is a truth that the enemy wants. He wants darkness covering over this psalm. He wants darkness to come over the incredible truth and power of this. He says darkness and the light are both alike unto you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you see everything as it is, and yet you say you don't withdraw your hand from me. You say that, Lord, you will be with me. You say that you will not. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. You're not going to withdraw from me. Hallelujah. You know, God sees everything as it is. As it is. Not how we see it. Not how we would like it to be. Not how we say it is. God sees everything as it is. Darkness and light are alike unto him. The light doesn't blind him, and the darkness covers nothing before his eyes. And if we choose darkness, when we can live in light, then we are the most deceived of all. You know that I'm thinking about the two young men that were on the cross with Jesus. And I'm thinking that one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus is there in the midst of them. And the scripture says, and they that were crucified with him reviled him. And it, if you, when we read the story of the crucifixion, it, here's three men, one the Son of God, two just men, two young men. And they're crucified and they're all in agony and in pain in their flesh. And people are going by the cross of Christ and they start to revile him. They start to mock him. They start to say to Christ, you know, you said you could save, and you can't even save yourself. Come down off that cross. Glory to be to God, he never did, because we'd be lost. Come down off that cross and save yourself. I mean, you said you were the Son of God. If God would have you, come down and save yourself. And it says that these two young men, they that were crucified with him, reviled him also. They joined the passers-by that were reviling him. They joined the chief priests and the scribes and even the soldiers. There seemed like a season where Jesus hanging there and dying. And something so monumentous that was going to change forever the fate of men and women, everyone who walked the face of this earth. And it's like Satan was having the upper hand and the last word. And in the agony of crucifixion and in the agony of the lies that were being said about Christ, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I know the one on the left and the one on the right must have heard him. And they were reviling him like everybody else. And I see, you know, when they joined in, they were speaking out of their rebellion. They were speaking out of that hatred and pain in their life. They were maybe speaking out of the injustice they felt they had experienced in their life. They were maybe feeling the violence that they'd been exposed to and were part of now. They were feeling the unending pain. They were feeling their own self-loathing. They were feeling the rejection of so many in their life. They were probably feeling the bitterness, the loneliness, the deprivation. Now they're both dying like animals. They're dying like as a spectacle. And I can see these two men closing their eyes, and yet they're hearing this, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And I feel like one of the men opened his eyes, and he looks and he sees Christ dying just like he is. Closes his eyes. Opens his eyes in his agony. Sees a man beside him in the same agony. Closes his eyes, opens his eyes, and realizes little by little he can't push this man away. He can't push away like he wants to every human being in his whole life in that moment. He can't push away the man dying beside him. He can't push away that he's having the same experience he is. He can't push away in his extreme agony and pain. That man won't go away. That man is still beside him, crucified beside him, dying beside him, yet forgiving. Yet not leaving him. He's reviling him, but one of these men can't push Christ away, and he knows it. He's just staying there as life, drip upon drip of his life, drips away. And everything that formed his life and shaped his life and brought him to the point where he was stretched out on a cross, dying like a spectacle, it's like something in him is beginning to understand. Something in his pain he can't push. This man won't go away. This man will not be moved. Even though he's made his bed in hell, this man won't go away, dying with him. What an incredible thing. He's with me in this. He's with me in this. And hallelujah. Jesus said, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there with you. I understand it all from the beginning, through the middle, to the end. I know. And all of a sudden it says, this young man, light comes into him, and he has this revelation, and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And he says, today, you will be with me. Today. Today, we are suffering together. And today, we die together. And today, you will be in paradise with me. I'll never leave you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. You can close your eyes in your worst nightmare and open them, and you'll still see me. I'm there with you. And so David says, verse 17, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. And when I awake, when I come to myself, O God, how much you love me. When I come to myself, how deep is your mercy? How deep is your blood? How deep is your forgiveness? How deep, if I make my bed in hell, you are still there with me. Because when I awake and come to my senses and understand, Lord, that your banner over me is love, and forever God is faithful, forever God is kind, forever God will be love to me, forever God is strong for me, forever, forever, it takes me right through this life, right into the next. When I awake, I am still with you because of your incredible love and mercy for me. Beloved, there, when this truth gets a hold of our heart, that is what breaks up the foundation of besetting sin. We're not going to squander that kind of love. When I awake, when I come to my senses and realize, oh God, if you have loved me and you have committed yourself to me, I'm not going to squander the depth of this kind of life and love and light you are offering me. Beloved, sometimes it takes this kind of commitment to go to the depths of hell and break it up on hell's own ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How precious are their thoughts towards me, oh God. The enemy wants to think you don't think about me anymore. There are times that, you know, that you don't think, and you, God says, I don't just think. I don't think one thought, two thoughts. As many grains of sand there are on this planet Earth, those are the number of thoughts I have towards you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says, Lord, surely you will slay the wicked, O God, depart from me. Verse 19, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. Let me say this in closing. What does that mean? I say that David, you know something, it got to a point where he was saying, oh God, I am not going to squander this revelation that you have given me. And Lord, I understand that you see everything about me. And when I come to the point of self-loathing, when I come to the point where I feel the injustices, when I come to the point of frustration, when I come to the point of being just so disappointed in myself, when I get to the point where I feel like, Lord, this streak of unfaithfulness in me, this unfaithfulness in me, oh God, I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be disappointed in myself anymore. I am going to run to you. And I'm not going to let pride be disappointed in this flesh anymore. I'm going to run to you, Lord. And I'm going to revel in the fact that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to revel in that. No matter how low I feel or disappointed I am in myself, or I've made my bed in hell one more time, I'm going to revel in the fact that if I've given you my heart, you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. And there's going to be greater power in that to break up the unfaithfulness found in the hearts of men than us singing this sad, sweet song and pushing ourselves away from the mercy and love of God. It's just pride. No, we're not going to do that. No, in fact, we're actually going to say, God, I thank you for a perfect hatred. I'm not going to wallow in self-pity. I'm not going to be disappointed like, oh, I've really missed the top rung of what God had for my life. No, I'm going to realize unless God comes and breaks up the deep, I don't go anywhere in this matter. Where I've made my bed in hell, only if God visits me with his love and mercy, I will not be pushed back from calling on the name that makes even hell bend its knee. Hallelujah. I am going to have the comfort and consolation of David, who is a man after God's own heart. And I'm going to stand up to the devil and say, devil, you know what? There's a lot of things I can agree with you this, but one thing I cannot, because I know like I know, I love him. And I gave my heart to him. And I will not be pushed away and pushed back from mercy when I need him the most, when I've made my bed in hell, when it seems like I've made a peace with a sin, when I've made peace with certain things in my life, and I know I have no strength to deal with it, and I'm afraid to deal with it because I might lose my faith on this matter. I'm going to turn to his word and get the same consolation and the same comfort David did. If I've made my bed in hell, you are with me. And so I'm lifting up my voice to a God who is with me and a God who hears me and a God who can deliver me. And I'm going to play the devil at his own game. I'm going to invite God to come in where he thinks he alone rules. I'll tell you something. The devil doesn't rule hell alone. The scripture says God shows up even in hell. Hallelujah. 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 And with that awesome truth, David says, now we're getting somewhere. I'm going to get a perfect hatred. That's a hatred, beloved. That is complete. That is calculated. That is unyielding to saying it's not hopeless because my God has not deserted me. No matter what I face, it is not hopeless because my God has not forsaken me. Now, the devil in hell will try to tell you it is so. But there is one ground he cannot take from you. When you bow your head and you say, Lord Jesus, am I yours? If you are Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he's not a man that he should lie. And he will give you a greater peace and a greater witness than hell can try to, counterfeit. You're going to know the real from the fake, maybe for the first time in a long time. And maybe some of us need to get to that point of absolute, a naked soul before God. Speak to me, O God. But he will witness that you belong to him. Then you cry out with everything you have and say, I'm not presenting my faithfulness or my track record, O God. I've made my bed in hell, but I tell you something, I want to hate it. I want to hate it with a perfect hatred. And you can give that to me. And I'll tell you, it breaks up. The depths and the stronghold of these places break up under the mighty power of a cry from a child of God. God hears us because he's with us. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 Now, beloved, don't you be kept back. Don't be kept back from this moment. God is here to deliver. I want you to not care who's on your left or who's on your right. Right now, this whole place is an altar. And I want you to begin to cry out. God sees you. He has searched you and known you. And he does not despise you. And he does not despise the struggle. So all over this place, beloved, you can come to this altar or you can stay in your seat. But make it right now an altar where your voice is going to be heard all over this place now. You and I, we're just going to begin to bring to him these places where the enemy has had dominion. But we here tonight, like David, oh God, you're going to give me a perfect hatred for where I've made my bed in hell. And beloved, you just begin to come if that means something. But beloved, if it means staying in your seat means something, you just begin to raise your hands. You don't care who knows or sees. For God is here to deliver his people tonight through the power of his word and by the power of his spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we cry out to you. Lord, you see us. And Lord, you know. You do not despise us. For as you did not desert that man when full of self-loathing and hatred and rebellion for what he had become and what he did, Lord, he opened his eyes and you were still there. Lord, we open our eyes and you are still here. And you are here to deliver us, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we just ask you to take hold now. We ask you to visit us, oh God. Thank you, oh God. Now, beloved, you cry out. You begin. Lift your voice unashamedly, for God is here. Lift your voice unashamedly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Oh God, deliver. Deliver me, oh God. Deliver me, Lord. Deliver me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are here, oh God. You are here in my deepest struggle, oh God. Thank you. Where I have failed you repeatedly, oh God, you are here. You hear me, oh God. Thank you. I give it to you, Lord. I give it to you, Jesus. I give it to you. Visit me now in this place, Lord. Visit me, oh God. Break up the depths. Break up the depths, oh God. Thank you, you don't despise me, Lord. Thank you, you don't despise me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you understand and you know. You know the beginning from the end. We submit it to you, Lord. Thank you, you are breaking up the depths because you said you would. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, sweep over this place, Lord. Come in now with your delivering power by the power of the Holy Spirit. Visit every bed of iniquity, every false peace. Oh God, visit us now, no matter how great or how small. Oh Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you are here. Thank you, you're delivering. Thank you, you're giving me a perfect hatred. Thank you, I go free. Thank you, I go free, oh God. Thank you, I am free. Hallelujah. 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 Beloved, we're not free because we've made a promise to God. We are free because Jesus is with us. We are free because he said, no matter to the depths we've gone, he goes with us. He's greater than any place of hell, any place of hell of torment in our mind, any place of torment in your body, any place of torment in your spirit. Jesus died that we may be free. And tonight, we recognize it and we open our hands wide for the freedom he brings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Your people are not proud. We richly open our hands to receive, Lord. Receive the salvation, receive the deliverance. Oh, Lord, we're not proud tonight. We declare it all because you see it all and you know it all. And we move in the freedom you're offering us because you love us. Oh, we say thank you, Lord. We say thank you for visiting us. Visiting us in these lowest, darkest of places. You have visited us because you've been with us all along. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I thank you. The strength of our freedom is you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. No matter, oh God, in the days to come, where we may find ourselves, we will never be held captive as long as we have been held captive before. Because we are realizing, Lord, as David did, that you are with us. No matter where we've made our bed, you are with us. No matter how deep or dark it got, you did not leave us or forsake us. You did not turn your eyes away from something, Lord, that we found despicable and loathing. No, Lord, you love us too much for that. And you don't leave us when we need you the most. You died on the cross for this. And we receive the freedom and the cleansing right now, today, for this. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If the Son has made me free, I am free indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you glory. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Maybe you've never been encouraged to pray for hatred before. A perfect hatred, but I feel like the Lord is saying that you and I need to identify some things that we need to hate completely. One is a spirit of rejection. Every time it speaks to you, reject it and say, Lord, I hate that spirit. It takes your glory from me and it lies to me. Number two, hate unforgiveness. For that is like the acid that eats your life and personality out. At the end of your days, you don't want to look like a bitter person. There's no life there. And number three, you have to hate self-loathing. Whenever self-loathing speaks to you, it says all is hopeless. It's not hopeless. You and I are loved. There is no place that God will not go with us to rescue us. He has broken up the depths of every bondage. He loves us so much. And don't let that set. We have to hate the self-loathing because Christ loves us. And we've had a marred image. And He will restore the right image, made in the image of God, made to walk upright in the earth. And we're going to learn to hate when those spirits speak to us. Say, I know who is behind that. With a perfect hatred. I expose it. I resist it. And I know that my Jesus has made me free. I don't have to listen to you. I'm not formed by you anymore. And it happens in a moment. It happens with an open heart. It says, I receive Jesus, this incredible work you are doing. And I go to the depths of it. And Lord, we just pray now, Lord, for a perfect hatred, Lord. These spirits, Lord, that ultimately discredit you and try to bring you down, Lord, what you have done and the salvation you offer. And I just thank you, Lord, that all over this place with a perfect hatred, Lord, this rejection and the unforgiveness and the self-loathing, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just come against it and we break it. It must bow. It must bow to the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, you will be faithful. Every time we call out your name, these things will bow. And the lie behind it will bow. And the strength and power behind it will bow. Thank you, Lord, you're going to recreate us. I thank you, Lord, this is the heritage we have of being loved by you, being forgiven by you. That you have joined us, Lord, and there's never a time you've left us. Never. I thank you, Lord. We're leaving in this place in the freedom of this. Lord, we're going to leave here with things broken in our lives, Lord. We go rejoicing because of your love and your power in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I have never, ever, ever, ever in my life heard the cross preached down like I just did tonight. That phenomenal truth. If you can get a hold of that truth, that segment in the message in particular tonight, that just that segment of the young man closing his eyes, opening his eyes, Christ is still there, committed to the last drop of blood. For you, for me. He's committed to us. In spite of our failures, in spite of what we've done, in spite of where we are, if you and I have a heart for God, He is committed to us. Let all hell tremble and bend its knee tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go rejoicing.